following is a presentation of Inspire Church of Skagit Valley.
How many of you guys are glad the political signs are down? The debates are over. Okay? All those kind of stuff. And the ads are over. The polls are quiet. Things are finally... No, I don't think they'll ever be back to normal. But things have changed. Now what? As you look at this little thing here, and I'll come back to this little sign in a moment, but as you look at it, what is this? It's a bungee. What happens with a bungee? Stretches. Okay? It always comes back. Okay? But there's two opposing forces. That one pulling here, one pulling here. And it makes this in the middle tight. Okay? Rosa, come here. Rosa's on. Say hi to Rosa. Tweak that in the middle. Oh! Just lost my nose. But it gets tight. The tighter you pull it, the tighter and more taut it gets in the middle. I'm going to, for the sake of my illustration this morning, as you pull on each end of this, it gets tension in the middle. Okay? I want to talk about tension here this morning. Most of the time, what we have had in America is two opposing views that have caused a lot of tension in the middle. Would you say amen? A lot of tension. I believe a lot of things, a lot of Facebook rants are a result of tension. Two opposing views. What do I do? How do I vote? What do I say? What do I believe? And it's caused a lot of tension. It's caused a lot of tension in the body of Christ. It's caused a lot of tension in America. What do I do? We have half of America that is incredibly excited and the other half are depressed. Tension. Okay? We have this tension going on of these factors. I believe that stress comes, just on a side note here, I believe stress comes when we have so many factors in our life that's causing tension, we have more than we can handle. Okay? When there are more things out there that are causing the tension in our lives, what do we do about this? How do I vote? How do I decide this? What about a house? What about a car? What about my kids? What about my health? And we're trying to decide on all of these things, and that produces a stress. Okay? And that's what happens. That's what we're going to talk about again. About, I'm going to talk about three different types of tensions this morning. Okay? As we look at this. The first one, of course, like we talked about, is the tension that we have here in America. Again, half depressed, half relieved, half are angry, half are confused, half are excited, glad, and thinking, boy, look at the next 4 years is going to be great. The other thing, the next 4 years is going to be hell. Okay? There's this America tension. How many of you know that kind of our days are pretty jacked up right now? I mean, watch the news. Like, there's protests here, protests here. There are people that are going down freeways and blocking freeways now as protests. How crazy, okay? All kinds of things like this going on. Lots of issues pulling from both sides. But let me tell you something. Our days that we are experiencing here today are not a lot unlike what was happening in the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament had some days that were pretty jacked up too. They had some crazy gods. Baal, Molech, Ashtoreth. Those were gods like Baal was the Lord or Master. He was the God of fertility and productive forces. He is the one who provided fertility to the ground so the crops could reproduce. And he was the God that you would call upon if you wanted to have children. Call upon Baal. Okay? That's who they believed in. There was the Molech who was very popular and caused a lot of families to sacrifice children. How jacked up is that? But they would do that. Asherah was the favorite deity of women. Ashtoreth was the goddess of the moon and sexuality and sensual love and fertility. And there were other gods of the sun and gods of the planets and gods of the rocks, gods of the wind and gods of the rain. They had all kinds of gods that they would follow. And if you remember the story of Elijah, how many of you remember the prophet Elijah in the Bible? Here we have this guy, Elijah, who was so ticked off at the prophets of Baal that he challenged them to a showdown. Remember? He challenged them, prophets of Baal. These are the ones, the God of reproduction, the God of productivity. These are the gods. And people were serving this Baal instead of serving God in Israel. And so Elijah goes to them and he says, I tell you what, let's do, guys. You call upon your God and I'll call upon my God. And we'll build this big sacrificial pile of rocks. And we'll put sacrifices, wood on it, and we're going to dig a trench around it, and we're going to build this, and we're not going to put any fire to it, but whichever God comes down and brings fire is the true God. And the crazy thing about it, there was a line at the very beginning. He said this. He said, how long are you going to halt between two opinions? What was happening in Israel? They were having a choice. Do I follow God or do I sacrifice babies? Tension. And they were choosing to sacrifice babies. That was the world that they were living in right there. So Elijah challenges them, how long are you going to halter or hedge between two opinions? And so if your God be God, let him bring down fire. And if my God be God, he'll bring down fire on mine. And you guys know what happened. We hear it and we talk about it all the time. It was just simple. They started crying out to their God at 9 o'clock in the morning. They cried all day. Elijah was back in the back taunting them. Where is your God now? Is he out having a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? Nothing was happening. He even goes so far as, hey, did your God have a problem so he had to go to the bathroom? I mean, he was just, taunting them incredibly. So that they became so frantic, they began to, listen, cut themselves and scream and want to sacrifice themselves. Okay? Somebody say, that's pretty nuts. I'm serious. And so when that didn't happen, by the time of the evening sacrifice, around 5 o'clock, Elijah finally says, okay, I'll do my thing. And he kneels down on one knee, and he just prays an incredibly simple prayer. You can read it in Exodus. You can read it. And all of a sudden, what happens? Not only did God light the fire, but let me go back. Elijah was so confident in his God that he said, go get some water and pour on this. So they went and got buckets and gallons and barrels of water and poured on this sacrifice so that the trench around the edge was so full of water it was pouring out over the side. And then Elijah, again, prays this simple prayer, and God just lights sacrifice up totally. God does it. Okay? These guys that were sacrificing to Baal, they run out and commit suicide because they were, oh no, what's wrong? Okay? I don't know about you guys, but there are some crazy things going on in this world today. Are there people cutting themselves today? Yes. Are people sacrificing babies today? Yes. Are people getting pretty messed up with a lot of other gods out there today? Yes. Not a lot different than what's going on today was happening in the Old Testament. We see that. But here we have what happens in the Old Testament. Say the word prophet with me. Prophet. A prophet. We don't hear a lot about prophetic words and prophecy an awful lot anymore. We should more. But anytime there was Israel was in need, God would raise up a prophet. And this prophet would stand and say, thus saith the Lord. And everybody would, whoa, okay, would quake at the words and the power of this individual. In that context of what was going on in Israel right there, arose this man by the name of Micah. Micah was known as the prophet of social reform. If I could picture Micah, I could picture him. How many of you guys know a little guy that comes in here like Danny Vandenberg? Okay, that's how I picture Micah. He is about 4 foot nothing. He weighed about a buck and a quarter, and his beard is down in here. And here I just see Micah coming on the scene, and he comes on, and he stands up and he begins to proclaim to the people in the jacked up world that they were living in. And he says something that I believe is absolutely, I say all that to bring it to this, okay? He says something, guys, that is so profound, and I believe so practical. I believe so relevant. And so simple for you and me to grasp. When we look at our world today, we look at the condition, we look at the things going on around us, and we ask the question, every one of us, most likely, possibly, we ask the question, what do we do now? Which way do we turn? I believe Micah, in the context of the world he was living in, I believe Micah has an amazingly simple little answer for us. I really do. So we're talking about tension. We're trying to think, okay, what are we going to do when these situations arise, when the whole gay marriage issue arises, even more so, when the Superior Court justices begin to be selected, all this in the future, these things that are going on to us, what do we do? Guys, I think I've got the answer, okay? And I believe it came from this little 4 foot nothing dude called Micah. Follow me here, okay?
Micah chapter 6, verse 8. I wish I had a drum roll. Thank you. There it is. Okay? I wish someday, Ty, you're going to have to do that for me. Like when the Cubs, you know, they get a first down, they go, first down. Someday, you know, I'm going to say something really, really good, and I want Ty to go, good word. You know, I don't know. It just seems like that would be kind of fun. Maybe to me only, but okay. Are you with me? Here it is. Look at Micah 6:8. It just starts out so crazy. He has showed you. Let's stop right there. You know what you should be doing, in other words. Isn't that what he says? You know better than this. You know that serving Baal and Moloch and Ashtoreth, you know that that's not right. You know cutting and sacrifice. You know that stuff ain't good. He's already shown you. Hello, right? He always showed you, oh man, what is good. Here it does. What does the Lord require of you? Here's three quick things. Look at them. Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. Oh my goodness. Is that a matrix for success or what? Is that a mantra for you and I in this mixed up world, in this time of tension of what we do? Is that, I believe it's something incredibly accurate for us, church. I love the Message translation. But again, it's a paraphrase, not a translation, excuse me. The Message paraphrase says it this way. But he's already made it plain how to live, what to do, what God is looking for in men and women. It's quite simple. Here's how he says it again. Do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Somebody say amen. I think that's a pretty good one. Be compassionate and loyal in your love. Hello. Look at the last one. I love this. Don't take yourself too seriously, but take God seriously. What a beautiful three things. See, I believe this verse is so crucial for every follower of Christ. When the tensions of life come, what should we do? When torn, and here's why I've got this. When torn, we have to learn how to make the right choice. I found this up in the children's room. In the hallway, I was walking through yesterday and I saw this and I thought, yeah. You see, when we're given the choice to vote or to you know, we're sitting around your tables even this Thanksgiving, enjoying all the Thanksgiving turkey and the conversation, which of course it will turn to politics. Okay. And when it turns to that, what do I do? Guys, can I just say it this way? With that tension of what do I say, how do I handle this when, you know, Uncle Fred comes in and here's Aunt Georgia, that comes, right? When they come in and they start pontificating, okay? When they start all this stuff, what do you do? Can I ask you, can I just say this right here? Is it still on there? Look, do what is fair and just. Be compassionate and loyal. And don't take yourself too seriously. Make the right choice. Uh-oh, right? Make a good choice here, church. Are you with me? Because when you're around all these people and all these things going on and you have a tendency to say, oh yeah, he's such a jerk and he's this and that's that and our government and our nation and our state. Oh, no. Wait a minute, make a right choice. Make a right choice here, guys. Okay? And here it is. Let me read that first part again to you. Here it is. Here it is. Listen. Act justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. You see, first, it's about walking in newness. And let me just say this quickly. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay? So I renew my mind so I make the right choice. I'm not going to go down the same pathway I used to go down in my life. I'm going to go down a new pathway. So first, it's about realizing that newness in me. Hello? Right? Secondly, it's about making that right choice. That's what it's all about. Making it, choose it. Daughter Casey and her husband Brent have a 3-year-old, and my son Dustin, his wife Jamie, also have a 3-year-old. He turns 3 today. Jude and Paisley. Okay, both of them are raising their kids. Keelan, come here a minute. I love when you guys sit in the front row. I don't want to stand up here because then I'll be bigger. I'll move. This guy, you're awesome. Okay, and so pretend you're 3. No, you said it. And so my children have adopted the policy when their children start making the wrong choices, they will grab them like this. I'm not going to kiss you, it's okay. They will grab them like this and say, look in my eyes, and they will say, make right choices right now. And they'll calm them down. They could go, make right choices, Keith. Go ahead, you sit down. Sorry about that. Make right choices. Sometimes I wonder if that wouldn't be good for us. If somehow the Holy Spirit could come and grab us and say, Bill, make right choices. Make right choices. See, that's what I think this is all about. In times of tension, it boils down to these choices. And it puts everything in context in a grid, a matrix, a guide for us. So here's three questions I think that boils down. Then move on to the next tension, okay? It boils down to this. Number one, is it fair? I'm just talking to you this morning, okay? I'm just kind of shepherding us all here, okay? Is it fair? Is it a correct assessment, or am I assuming something? Am I perceiving something that could be perceived wrongly? Am I reading into this situation? Am I reacting to something that someone else said rather than what is really true? Am I being fair? Secondly, is this kind? Is this the kind of treatment that I would like someone to treat me with? Ooh, turn the person next to you a smile now, okay? Would I like this kind of treatment? It's like that golden rule out there, do unto others what you would have them do unto you. And the golden rule is not those who have all the gold make all the rules, okay? Golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That's the type of treatment. Is it kind? Is a statement being made about me or to me? All right? Well, how does it reflect? Is it kind? And the last one is simply, does this honor God? What? Do you see how important those three things just can simply be in our lives? Wow, right now I think those are so key. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4. He writes about Christian unity. And he said, now I want you to remember here, that world of the book of Ephesians was a pretty crazy world. Where's, what's your name again? Rick. Yeah, where's Rick? Rick's been teaching on, where are you, Rick? Yeah, there he is. Rick's been teaching great classes on New Testament survey. What was the Roman world like at the time of Ephesians? Pretty jacked up. Yeah, pretty messy. Paul says, though, to the Ephesian church here, he declares a ceasefire, and he says, embrace gentleness, humility, and reconciliation. Oh, guys, let me just go down this system. I don't think the world is looking for our pickets and our petitions. They're not excited about our Facebook rants or our fancy programs. They need to know what we are for more than what we are against. Okay? Are you with me there? Think about it. And I heard this phrase last week. Can I just throw it out to you? And I promise I'll move on to number two here, maybe. Listen, I'm not so sure God is so concerned about what is happening in the White House as much as he is what is happening in my house. Think about it with me, will you? Remember, it's our job to change society and culture, not the president's. How do we do that? Making right choices. Making right choices. Making right choices to act justly, is it fair? To love mercy, is it kind? To humbly walk with my God, is it more about him or is it all about me? Are you with me out there? I think it would work, guys. I really do. See, the world should never be considered our enemies. They're our friends to influence by our right choices when we do that, okay? Got to move on, okay? Remember, it's our job to change society and culture. Remember, it's our job to do what? To impact our community so that they get inspired to discover the hope that's found in Jesus. How do they do that with we are posting rants, we are protesting, we are complaining, we are bickering, we're divided. They'll just drive by your testimony and they'll drive by every church and say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. But when we begin to make right choices, I think the world will begin to listen. Are you with me? Now, let me talk about something here a little bit more. Becca touched on it a little bit. I want to talk to you really quick here about a second type of tension. The tension that's in America here. I believe that's here, isn't it? It's there. That's tight. Okay? A second one is more of a spiritual one. And it's a spiritual one because of this thing called, it's very, very real, called faith versus reality. I believe there's a tension that exists right there. I believe there's a tension spiritually about law versus grace. Okay? Are you with me? There's a tension. Have you ever had tension in your home about how much love should I show and how much discipline? To love and discipline. Well, I just want to show love to my kid, but I got to discipline. You're grounded until 5 minutes, you know? And so you're balanced. There's a tension there. And I heard a great story. I'm going to take a second here to tell you this great. Here's a little deep little nugget for you, okay? Pay attention to this one. Law versus grace. How many of you remember who was the mother of Jesus? Mary. Who was the woman who Jesus cast out 7 demons? Mary Magdalene. Follow with me really, really quick. Go study this one out. It's kind of cool. Mary was the last person to touch Jesus before he died. The first person to touch Jesus after he rose was Mary Magdalene. The end of law and the beginning of grace. What a beautiful picture, guys. Did you get that? Beautiful picture. The ending of law, of doing it this way, and all of a sudden, here's Mary Magdalene, delivered of 7 demons. God showing his incredible grace of forgiveness and putting into a new position, a new place. And so God's beginning of saying, you're not like you were. You're now a person of God's grace. Wow. A new era has begun. A time of God's grace. Aren't you glad for his grace today? Oh, man. Anyhow, I'll let you think on that one. Okay. Let me go this. Faith versus reality. The tension here is this. Here's where it plays out. We say, well, I know the Bible says, but look what is going on. I know that the Bible says this about healing. I know the Bible says this about salvation for my family. I know the Bible says this about provision for my needs. But look, faith versus reality. I want to have faith to believe by his stripes I am healed, but look at her condition. I want to believe that my God shall supply all my needs, but look at my bills. I want to believe my children will be saved, but look at what they're doing. Faith versus reality. There's a tension. Have you ever felt that tension? Of course, I think we all have. We've felt that. Which way do we lean? See? And that's what I want to talk to you just really quick about and where we're going to go, okay, on this. It's very real, as Becca mentioned here this morning. It's very real for our family right now because with Becca's sister, JL, and if you guys know, Becca is also married to the guy that plays, not married, she's married to me, Becca's brother is the guy that plays the guitar over here. His name is Joel. And Becca and Joel are brothers and sisters. They have a youngest sister by the name of JL. And JL and her husband are on staff at Richland Assembly of God over in Eastern Washington. JL has been, and I'm going to be very honest and vulnerable with you, JL has just completed her 4th round of treatment for breast cancer. And she is currently at a very critical time. She is not undergoing any more chemotherapy or any more radiation. At all, because it's just reached a point of there's nothing else the doctors can do. There has been some challenges in her physical being and some challenges for her to be able to eat and move, etc. But we together, if you've read my post this past week that Pastor Brian sent out, we stand in faith and we believe the word, but we also see the condition. There's a tension, hello, that exists. There are a number of churches that are who are uniting in prayer this week around the Northwest for JL. There are a number of churches, a number of people who have been fasting and praying for her. And in just a few moments, we're going to do the exact same thing. I'd ask that you join with me in praying for her. We know the verses. We lay hands on the sick and they shall. We know the verses about they shall be saved and their house. We know those verses. We claim, we talk about the prodigal son. I'm claiming my daughter or my son. I'm going to claim a relative. Like prodigal son is away, but they're coming back. We see the faith, but yet there's the reality of it all also. We know the provision verses about God shall provide all of my needs. God will take care of me. He will pour out windows of heaven upon me and open up the windows of heaven, pour out blessings that I can't contain. We know those, but here's that tension that is there. But just not seeing it or we can't understand it is where many of us are. And that's where faith comes in. Now let me teach you and talk with you just briefly if I can here. That's called faith. You see, faith takes my thinking process to a new level. Somebody say new level. Okay? And here's why. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 says this: trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not into my own understanding. Now follow this. That means if we are in the realm of understanding something, okay, that means we are not trusting. Trusting comes when we begin to lean not on our own understanding and we just begin to trust. When we begin to trust, guess what? That opens up faith. And faith is the confident assurance, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, faith is the confident assurance that something I can't see, understand, comprehend, is going to happen. So therefore, I begin with trust, and as I say, I'm going to trust you and take you at your word, it enters me into this realm of possibility that goes beyond my understanding and goes into that incredible realm of faith, where with faith, nothing is impossible. Did you hear that? Nothing is impossible. That's not me, that's the Bible, okay? So that's what we're talking about here, okay, on this. Healing. I know sometimes, guys, we talk about I can't understand. Well, guess what? That's where faith kicks in. How can someone be miraculously healed? I've been miraculously healed. God has touched me, and I, as a teenager, 14-year-old kid, I had terrible allergies. I couldn't go swimming. I'd go swimming, my nose would swell up, my eyes would get red, and for days I could hardly breathe. Anybody else been there with those kind of things? I was there, and we had a prayer meeting over in the other building when I was a kid. And we had a prayer meeting over there, and someone said, if there's anyone here who needs healing, come on up front. And I was one of those little shy, bashful kids. And, yeah, I know you guys are hard to believe that now, you know. But I was kind of a snot, too, okay? And because I said, God, if you can heal me up there, you can heal me right here. Because if you really are everywhere, you're just as real to me here as you are up there. Guess what? From that point on, I never had another problem to this day with allergies. I can walk through hay fields. I can swim. I can walk. I can dive. I do all that stuff without any problems the next day. God totally healed me. Do I understand that?
Absolutely not.
Not at all. But see, that's where the trust and the faith level comes in. Are you with me? See, that's what we're talking about. Okay? That's what we're talking about here this morning. Faith that he will, even though I don't understand. Salvation of loved ones, family members. How in the world, have you guys ever asked the question, how in the world will Uncle George ever be saved? Have you ever thought of that? How in the world? I had one of those guys, and his name was Tom. And I thought, how in the world? Tom was a master fly fisherman. He was on the cover of fly fishing magazines. And he was my cousin. As I grew up, he grew up here in the same city, same area. And as he was growing up, he was my idol. I thought, man, if I could just grow up to be like Tom. And Tom taught me how to fly fish on Clear Lake. And he showed me how to pull the line out and where to cast it. Oh, the fish jumped. And he taught me how to take the ripples from the water and say, okay, the fish is going to the right. Put the fly to the right. He taught me all of that stuff about fly fishing. And Tom was my idol. And I thought, and I prayed, God, I don't know how you're going to do this, but please get a hold of Tom's life. I got a phone call one time from my friend, my other cousin. She said, Bill, you got to come and talk to Tom. And I said, okay, what's going on? Tom has just been diagnosed with cancer, and they only give him a couple days to live. And I'm going, oh, brother. So I drove down, and I talked to Tom. I met him, and Tom had incredibly big blue eyes, and he couldn't walk because he was stuck in this wheelchair. And Tom was just sitting there, and I walk in, and he couldn't talk. He hadn't talked in 2 days. And I started talking to Tom, and he would nod his head, or he'd squeeze my hand, and the other two cousins were standing by the bedside. And as I stood there talking to him, I finally come to the realization, I need to talk to this guy. God, you're going to use me, you know. And so I said, hey, Tom, barring a miracle from God, you're not going to walk out of here. Did you know that? He nodded. I said, Tom, did you realize that you need to know Jesus? And I told him about the plan of salvation, that Jesus is the only way to heaven, and that there are my relatives, and our relatives are already up there waiting for us. Tom, did you realize that? And he nodded his head. I told him, you know, it's very simple. All you have to do is confess your sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. And he nodded his head. And then for the first time in 2 days, he spoke, and he said, let's do this. In my heart, I go, do what? Oh, you want me to pray? Okay. I mean, really, I was just so caught off guard. So I grabbed his hands, and he grabbed mine, and for the first time again in 2 days, he hadn't talked. I said, Tom, I want you to do your best to repeat after me. He said, okay. And he said, okay. Dear God. I ask you today. I ask you today. And he repeated the sinner's prayer with me. Word for word, even though he hadn't spoken in 2 days. I don't know how in the world that happened, but God did it. And I'm convinced when I go to heaven, when God calls my number and I go to heaven, I'm going to see Tom. Why? Because of one little 20-second prayer. 2 days later, he died. Tom is in heaven today because of one little 20-second prayer. How in the world? Go figure! Goes beyond our understanding, but that's the realm of trusting, and that's the realm of faith in God. Maybe you have a family member also that you're saying, I just don't know how Uncle so-and-so is ever going to be saved. I don't know how my brother, my son, my dad, I don't know. But let me tell you, that moves into the realm of the impossible, and with God, all things are possible. See, faith, well, you just don't know my dad. See, faith versus reality. You just don't know my uncle. You just don't know my son. You just don't. Faith versus reality. Wait a minute. So when the choice comes to us, faith versus reality, can I challenge us here in the first area, when things come on, going on in our lives, let's choose what Micah challenged us with. Secondly, let's choose when faith versus reality comes out. Let's choose faith, guys. Let's choose faith. I think that's the direction, again, we have to go. Maybe it's for a provision and you have more month left at the end of your money. Faith, he will come through. Now, if you're spending $1,500 a month on lattes like the guy last week that Les told us about, and you're wondering where in the world your money is going and how to pay for you probably should deal with the lattes first. All right? Maybe, but anyhow, I need to move on. Okay, so, what if? You look at the options, who knows? Maybe they could get healed and saved, and maybe you could get provided. Why not pray? Why not believe? What if? See, I can't become overly concerned about the outcome. I have to leave it to the one who judges all things justly. I have to leave it to God. But what about? What about so-and-so? They never got saved. Or what about so-and-so? They never got healed. Look, don't allow circumstances to dictate your theology. Did you get that? Don't allow someone's experience where they never got saved, they never got healed, never got this. Don't allow that to dictate or change here your faith in believing God is my provider, God is my healer, God is my source. Don't change it, because that nothing will change the word, no matter what the circumstances are. God's word will stay. How do I do that? Two simple things: childlike faith and persistence. Childlike faith. I don't have time to go into that. How many of you know that you believed your dad could do just about anything? As you were growing up, dad can do anything. That's the childlike faith we need to have in our Heavenly Father. And a persistence. There's a widow in Luke who kept asking and kept asking and kept knocking, and finally she was given to her request. So tension between faith versus reality. We challenge us, guys, let's choose faith. Choose faith. If you're in a situation right now, there's a faith and reality struggle going on, a tension going on. Can I challenge you? Can I challenge you? Let's have faith. Let's believe. God's going to provide miraculously. God's going to heal miraculously. God's going to bring that person back to Christ miraculously. Somehow, some way, whatever it is for you. Now, let's close.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Inspire Church. For more audio and video content, check out icskagitvalley.org.